Item 581, please.
Request of Justin Kirsten to address council regarding raising the minimum wage in the city to $15 per hour.
Good morning.
Morning. So my name is Justin Norton Kirsten. I'm an organizer with 15 Now PDX. This past Equal Pay Day, the City Council held a rally to highlight the unequal pay of women and the need for higher wages in our city in general. During that rally, it was stated that the minimum wage in Portland needs to be raised, and the state legislature was called upon to remove the preemption law that prevents municipalities in Oregon from raising the minimum wage for all their workers. And you were correct. The minimum wage does need to be raised in Portland. This is an increasingly expensive city in which to live. The cost of rent here is rising at more than twice the national rate of inflation. Rents increased by 4.9% from 2011 to 2012, and according to the Labor Bureau, in 2013, the average rate of inflation in the U.S. at 1.6%. However, during the same period of time in Portland, rents increased by 4.5%, groceries by 3.5%. The cost of eating out at a restaurant in Portland went up by 6.4%. Other sectors of Portland's economy saw similarly high inflation over the last few years. According to the Out of Reach 2014 report by the National Low Income Housing Coalition, a single mother making minimum wage in the city of Portland has to work 78 hours per week in order to attain a basic level of economic security. Working a 40-hour per week job, she would have to earn $17 an hour in order to provide basic housing and food for her and her children. A $15 minimum wage, on the other hand, brings these families right up to that level of basic economic security at about $63,000 per year. Combined, that $63,000 a year combined for a two-parent, one-child family. This makes it clear that the basic economic security of Portland's residents, parents, and children is dependent on a higher minimum wage, at least a $15 an hour minimum wage. And while we commend the council for calling on the state to repeal the preemption law, what we really need is for this body to actually act in the best interest of the people that it represents. What we need is for you to do is to take a stand on the minimum wage. Tell us what you endorse. Don't just tell us that you support the wage being raised, but take a stand for $15 an hour. We also need you to actually work towards making this happen. The state preemption law, while it's there, does contain exceptions that allows the Portland City Council to act right now to raise the minimum wage for many workers in Portland. These exceptions allow you to take immediate action to raise the minimum wage for all city workers in Portland to $15 per hour and to require that all contractors working with the city pay their employees at least a $15 minimum wage. This would be a positive start and first step that would show your commitment to raising the minimum wage here in Portland and would also go a long way toward pressuring the state to actually lift the invasive preemption law. So on behalf of your constituents and the workers of the city of Portland who have rent to pay and children to feed, 15 Now PDX presents 1,000 signatures demanding that you take immediate action to begin implementing these exceptions to the state preemption law and that you pass a living wage tax that taxes big corporations and other large businesses in Portland that don't pay all of their employees $15 per hour. Thank you.
Thank you for your advocacy. Thanks very much.
Mayor, may I respond?
Sure.
So I appreciate your advocacy, and I've been looking into this because my bureau, the Bureau of Parks and Recreation, is the one that employs over 2,000 employees who don't make $15 an hour. Mm-hmm. So as you know, the city government has to pass a balanced budget. We're not allowed to borrow like the federal government.
Sure.
So it would cost about $2.7 million to bring the parks employees up all up to $15 an hour. This past budget session, the council changed 22 positions from seasonal to full-time because we also have thousands of seasonal workers who do not make city benefits. They don't get any benefits except the sick time that this council passed.
Right.
So my hope is to bring more and more of the seasonal workers into full-time permanent positions with full benefits. So those are the choices, that we can spend $2.7 million bringing everybody up to $15 an hour. We could spend another $2.7 million bringing, I think that would be about another 40 or 50 workers up to permanent status with full-time benefits. Or we could spend $2.7 million on major maintenance, because we currently have $1.25 million in the budget each year for major maintenance, but the needs in major maintenance is $36 million. So there are choices to make. My daughter works in retail and doesn't make $15 an hour. Her challenge is that she doesn't get 40 hours a week either.
Sure. Yeah.
So that would be another trade-off, is if that we increase the minimum wage, are we going to have more workers who don't who work fewer hours but don't have set schedules, so they can't even get a second job. So I'm just telling you this to let you know that we have done some looking into things since the rally. Mm-hmm. It certainly is a great goal, and we want all workers who work 40 hours a week to be able to have a living wage and spend time with their family. The question is, where does the money come from? And I do appreciate the suggestion of a large corporation tax. As Commissioner Novick is looking into, there's a lot of resistance to raising more revenue. But after 6 years of working on the city budget, I'm convinced that there isn't a big bucket of money sitting somewhere. So we do need to have those other discussions of how do we pay for what we all agree is the right thing to do.
Sure. Yeah, we.
Hey, folks, let him speak, please. He's here.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's some things that need to be worked out. Money doesn't just come out of nowhere, but like the living wage tax and other ideas that we feel we could bring to the table that could help get us there. We look forward to having the dialogue with you and seeing what we can do to actually make it work, because we firmly believe that there's more than just two choices out there, and that we can figure out a way to do it. If we can cut through red tape to build all of the new development projects that happen in this city, we can certainly cut through some red tape to get our employees in this city a living wage. So.
Yeah, I appreciate you doing this now. As I mentioned earlier, we're getting ready to prepare our legislative agenda, what we want the legislature to do next session. That's part of the equation, as you
pointed
out.
Yeah, we would very much like to see the preemption law on that agenda.
Yeah, we don't like preemptions in general, and we don't like this one either.
Right.
So that's, you know, that's a good issue to start raising now, not just with us, but with state legislators. Hey, would you let the city of Portland have the freedom to do its job? On
Absolutely.
Maybe this and some other things too, but particularly in your case on this. And then you've also rightly raised the question of what we can do within the authority that we already have. We are preempted from having a blanket policy,
right.
But we aren't preempted from doing anything at all. So
right.
Thanks for noticing those distinctions, and those are the lanes we have to work in. So, but there obviously are choices, as Commissioner Fritz pointed out.
Right. Thank Anybody going to endorse 15 right now?
we'll be doing our legislative agenda shortly. I think you'll be hearing from all of us.
Great. I look forward to it.
Thank you.
Thanks.